You're listening to VOB 92.9 FM. The time is 10 minutes after 11 o'clock. We do apologise for the late start to Brass Tack Sunday with the compliments of Williams Industries. And we say good morning to our moderator, Mr. Glyne.
Good morning, Ronnie. And I might also add my apologies to listeners for the late start. Through you know, some technical problems, but I think we're over it now. We're getting ready to link up. I'm also waiting the joining of our session with our special guest, Dr. Hajima Degye. And we should have that sort of thing. Meanwhile, Ronnie, thank you very much for putting things in place for us. As you know, this morning we are seeking to explore a very topical issue dealing with the social changes in Barbados and the impact Republic has been having on persons and their attitude and their outlook on life and whatnot. And we'll be very pleased to be joined very shortly by Dr. Hajima Degye, who's a lecturer in sociology and the University of the West Indies and also at the Barbados Community College. Ronnie, I'd be very glad if you could, Ronnie, remind the public with the topic by as soon as I introduce Dr. Degye to refresh their memories by once more playing the promo that has promoted the program today. Remember always that today's program is brought to you as customary with the compliments of Williams Industries Incorporated.
Now is the time for you to fence your property with galvanized green, white, or brown chain link fencing and our brown band galvanized pole pipe, which are the longest lasting. We will give you a free estimate too on all your fencing material.
For building supplies, big or small, at Williams Metals we have it all. At Williams Metals we have it all.
Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
COVID-19 came virtually out of the blue to rattle the social and economic foundations of Barbadian society. Then came challenges to long-held morals, values, and norms, the debate about same-sex unions, cannabis, republicanism, plus concerns about crime and social and economic inequalities. To make sense of this situation, join us this Brass Tack Sunday, when moderator Glyne Murray has as his guest, lecturer in sociology, Dr. Hajima Degye.
In 1991... I was a young, naive Indian Muslim girl who went against my community's conventional approach to girls and decided that I wanted to pursue a tertiary level education.
Brass Tack Sunday from 11 in the morning in association with Williams Industries Incorporated on Voice of Barbados.
Good morning to all. Good morning to all listeners to Brass Tack Sunday. I want to welcome at this stage Dr. Degye. Do you want to say hello before I give you a proper and more fulsome introduction? And are you not here?
Sorry, Mr. Murray. Yeah. Hi, good morning, Mr. Murray. Thanks for that. Good morning, listeners. I'm happy to be here this morning.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us. Before we get into our topic proper, I just thought I'd like to measure the fact how pleased you are to have you, and to give the people a little glimpse into your background. You said in the promo you had gone against the customs and traditions of your community and barriers by seeking tertiary education. How has that experience been since you first ventured into that area, and do you have any regrets in that regard?
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Murray. No, I don't have any regrets, none at all. It has been an interesting journey, challenging at times, exciting. I am happy that I chose the path that I took, and I haven't looked back. It's now been about 20 something years that I set out on my path to tertiary education and so on, and it has been challenging at times, exciting at times. I've met people on the way.
I must say, you would have taken a lot on your shoulders, not only to break the proverbial glass ceiling, be a pioneer, to be the first sociologist from your community, your Muslim community in Barbados, and also be one of the very first of female Muslims to seek to venture into tertiary education. Do you think you've been able to inspire any others to follow you since then?
I can agree with you that yes, I've been the first Muslim woman and so on. I'm not sure if I've inspired people to follow in my footsteps with regard to my discipline, but I might have inspired people to go off and study and go off to study at a tertiary level. I guess maybe I've done that.
Before belaboring this aspect of the subject, has the attitude of your community changed towards tertiary level education for females since you first dipped your toes in the water, so to speak?
Yes, definitely. From what I have observed, there don't seem to be many barriers anymore to females seeking and accessing education. And it seems as if some of the same trends that are transpiring in the mainstream population is transpiring within the community as well, where it seems as if more girls seem to be accessing education than boys. So that has changed definitely.
Excellent. And congratulations on what contribution you have made. It's very positive development. Enough for small chat, but what exactly, tell me, what is sociology? Because I know that societies are never static and stagnant. They're always changing beneath the surface sometimes when most people don't realize it. But tell me, define sociology for those persons who would hear the term being used, mm-hmm. but don't fully understand what the discipline entails and what it's about.
Yeah, that's true. People are always a bit unclear about exactly, and people are always going like, but exactly what are you and exactly what do you do? In a very, very simplistic sense, sociology is the study of human behavior. But that's simplistic. That's a simplistic explanation. Sociology is the study of social life, social change, the causes and consequences of human behavior. Human behavior is the main thing there. The thing about it is that you aren't just interested in human behavior. You're interested in what causes people to act the way they do. And what are the consequences of this behavior? But the thing about sociologists as well, is that they're interested in society and not necessarily individuals. Right. So not necessarily individual behavior, but the societal causes of a phenomena, for example, crime or bullying or gender imbalances, whatever they may be.
I thank you very much for that explanation, because I know from my own exposure to the social sciences, including sociology, that psychology really focuses on individual human behavior. Psychology is a scientific study of individual human behavior. Mm-hmm. Sociology is the group. And then there's social psychology, which is the function of the individual within the group.
Right, yes, correct.
Thanks to make sure I haven't forgotten it after all these years. And I bow to your superior expertise in that regard. You mentioned change and behavior. Mm-hmm. How does change in human behavior in society, how does social change manifest itself? In what forms, in what areas?
Yeah. Social change is, if I could maybe say what social change is.
Right, thank you.
We say that social change is the transformation of culture, behavior, social institutions over time. So change is not something that sometimes a society might go through a sudden change, but a lot of times it's a gradual transformation. And social change is also a significant alteration in behavior patterns, cultural values, norms, right? So it affects cultural values and norms.
So does that mean that social change can be either good or bad or both? Or how do you define a good social change and a bad social change?
Yeah, correct. Social change isn't always good. social changes, if we examine across the world social changes that have occurred, some have been for the better, some have not been for the better. But what remains constant is that change is inevitable. And how do we define what is a good social change? That can't be answered as a yes or no question, because it depends on the society. It depends on how that society perceives certain issues, right? How that society perceives change in itself. Some societies, their cultures are such that change is not something that is welcomed. Some societies are going through change, but they don't necessarily recognize it until like after the fact. So I think the society itself would have to define if they think, the people in that society, if they think the change is good or bad. But if it's negatively impacting on social problems, right? For example, in some type of social change, is it negatively impacting on crime levels? Is it impacting on social inequalities? Then we could maybe say, yes, this social change is negative.
But you talk about society reacting and responding to a change or perceived change or manifested change, but is it the individual, when a society, you mean a monolithic group reacting the same way, or is it possible for persons within that group to react differently to the changes, say it differently, react to it differently, or have different changes to respond to the very same change?
Right. So, yes, you might have, yeah, what you're saying is correct. Everyone is not going to react the same way to the changes. You will have different sectors of society welcoming the change and other groups in the society not being too pleased with it. But then I guess we would have to ask ourselves, what is a society, right? And I like to say that a society is a group of people with common territory, common interaction and cultures. And generally speaking, people in a society share aspects of their culture. But within a society, you can have different cultures, right? You can have pluralism and so on and so forth. So yes, we will have different segments, sectors of the society reacting differently and welcoming the change differently.
You mentioned, so you can have subcultures, well, not a subculture, the smaller subgroups. Sometimes there's a contra-culture, sometimes there's, yes, a contra-culture. Could you explain those to persons so that they get a better feel of the intricacies of the workings of the mechanism of a society?
Yes, yes, that's true. Because culture in its broad sense is the way of life of a group of people. And it refers to language, beliefs, behaviors, values that make up that very life of a people. But then within a culture, you can have different groups, and that's where subcultures come in. So a subculture is, in a very, very general sense, a culture within a culture, right? So right, you have little segments of the society, offshoots of the main culture. And these subcultures could be, they can be ethnic groups, they may be racial groups, or they may be just groups that have a different culture or have different values. Subcultures are formed for various reasons. It could be that the mainstream rejected a group of people and they went on to create another alternative for themselves. It could be that the group itself does not want to entirely integrate within the mainstream, so they prefer to exist as a subculture. Then you have countercultures. Countercultures are those cultures that tend to be what we say are against the norms and the values of the mainstream culture, right? They don't harmoniously exist with the mainstream culture. And that's something I should have said too, that subcultures can vary in their degree of integration within a society. Some of them are, they act as countercultures, and others are existing harmoniously within the mainstream.
From your professional research and experience, would you say that, for example, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but would you say that your subculture, the Muslim subculture, the Indian subculture, so to speak, in Barbados, mm-hmm, has coexisted, has been accepted? What would you say is the level of cooperation and integration of your subculture and others, and any others that you might want to identify within the general framework of the Barbadian society and the Barbadian national sort of set of cultures?
Right, okay. So if I could generalize here a bit, of the subcultures we have in Barbados were not formed, I think, with a plan in mind, but some of them emerged as a consequence of bigger changes. For example, the issue of poverty, right? So we have communities in Barbados where inequalities and poverty has meant that they live a type of a separate existence and are not entirely well integrated within the economic landscape. But with regard to what you're calling my community, well, the thing is, the issue is a bit nuanced. We have to keep in mind that when we say Muslim community, the Muslim community isn't a monolithic community per se. You have varieties of Muslims and so on and so forth. Then when we say, if we maybe say the Indian community, the Indian community is not as monolithic again as people may think. See. Right. You have, for example, you know, the Indian community. So there, you can't specifically say Indian community. As a block. Because there are varieties of ethnicities within that big block. So
just like the varieties of ethnicity within the Black Barbadian society, the white,
So you have, for example, pockets of different types of Indian groups in Barbados. The largest group really is a group that originated in the state of Gujarat in India, and they are overwhelmingly Muslim. So that's when people say Muslim community, people tend to be referring to them. They are what I have categorized as an ethnic group, right? They are ethnic group for various reasons that, you know, sociologists define as ethnic groups. They represent an ethnic group. And I would say, yes, that they are a subculture within the mainstream Barbadian subculture. With regard to things like integration or coexisting, I would say that while existing as a subculture with different norms, different values, language to some extent and so on, but there has still been coexistence. It could be because of the small size of the country. You cannot necessarily exist as an entire different ethnicity. The size of the country, the geography may not allow that, but again, that's debatable. But because of the nature of the jobs, the work that they do as well, has meant that they have had to interact with the mainstream for historically. So it isn't a group that exists entirely separately.
Many years ago, I read Herskovitz, I believe that name.
Yes, Herskovitz, yes.
And he made a very, in describing the social stratification of Barbados, I think, and the rest of the Caribbean, he said something like, they meet in the marketplace. They meet in the marketplace,
yes.
Mm-hmm. but they do not mix. Yeah, they meet in the marketplace, mm-hmm. but they do not mix.
Yeah.
In other words, like you said, they don't mix socially and whatnot.
Right.
How would you describe the intermixing and the general state of multiculturalism in Barbados, multiracialism? Would you say it's a balanced, tolerant, integrated, how would you describe that? Because you often hear all kind of descriptions from non-professionals. How would you apply your professional experience and training to describe the state of so race relations in Barbados and integration and cultural coexistence, et cetera.
Yeah. Okay. So there's a, I think it was M.G. Smith in his explanation of the plural society model. And he said that Guyana, the society of Guyana but that was a long time ago when he wrote that, right? He wrote that in the 1970s, something around that time period. And he said that Guyana represents a plural society. And he said that you have different ethnic groups within the society and they only come together in the marketplace. They mix, but they do not mingle.
Right.
And it is kind of, to me, it's a bit complicated and complex as well. Different racial groups in Barbados have not necessarily been the same kind of experience as Guyana. And Guyana, for various reasons, had, you know, this plurality about it. And when I say plurality, I mean that you have different groups. They come together for various reasons, but they retain their own institutions, their own language, and language sometimes they retain their own institutions like family and jobs and that kind of thing. It's a bit complex when we refer to Barbados because of the historical context within which Indians arrived in Barbados and the ways in which they went about doing their work, interacting with the general mainstream community and so on. So there is that aspect where they do exist as a separate ethnic entity. As the group has grown and grown in size, that is facilitated by group size as well, right?
Right.
And therefore, you could speak about a separate ethnic entity. And in many cases, you could even start to speak about ethnic enclaves and so on, where particular geographical locations are specific to this particular ethnic group.
You mean where you've chosen to live in distinct areas, a concentration of one group in a particular area?
Yes, yes.
Or a set of areas?
Yes, but just like every other group in the society, just like every culture, that does. Ethnic groups, racial groups, they've been evolving as time has progressed and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So to some extent, there's a type of separate norms. You still have separate belief systems and so on.
Many years ago, again, I read where this, it was said in sociology and the social sciences and the human behavior that one of the truest indicators as to how integrated and intermix a society is judged by things like not only how you work together, or go to school together, or play together, but marriage across. I'm not specifying your group. Mm-hmm. I'm saying across Barbados in general, because we have a multiplicity of groups in Barbados.
Yes,
we are a multicultural society. We're not just a black or white, but we are multicultural with other groups in it. What indications do you have that principle has been manifested in Barbados based on the frequency or the number of interracial intergroup marriages that take place? Do you have any information on that?
No, I can't specifically speak about the number, percentage, or anything like that. But there does seem to be a growing trend of interracial intergroup. Well, interracial, not necessarily intergroup.
Right.
Right. There does seem to be some increase in intergroup marriages. It does appear that way.
I know for sure from my experiences that I have younger children and they seem to have a greater exposure to more diverse racial mm-hmm. groups and ethnic cultures and groups yeah. than I would have had because of my age, etc. Do you find that the younger generation of Barbadians are more exposed to, more open-minded, more acceptance of the differences than, say, people of my generation?
Yes, of course, definitely. That is one social change that has been very visible or very obvious. The younger generation have been exposed to different types of people, different races, different classes, different religion. No, I don't know about class, but I know about different religion and so on, because going to school and so on. So yes, right. Definitely they've been exposed. Up to yesterday, a student said, he said, my generation is a generation that no longer really cares about these types of things. Of course, that's an individual opinion, but it still is representative of some phenomena that's going on.
By the way, I should have mentioned in my introduction that Dr. Dege teaches at lectures in sociology at the University of the West and also the Barbados Community College. Mm-hmm. Yes. Right. So when let's take a break here now to acknowledge our sponsors. When we come back, I want to be more specific and drill down into COVID as an agent of social change and its effects, and how do we cope with that, plus the other issues that have emerged since then that have quite shaken up the Barbadian society. Remember, this is to draw to your attention that Brass Neck Sunday is brought to you, as usual, as always almost, by Williams Industries Incorporated.
For building surprise, big or small, at Williams Metals we have it all. Angles, flats, cement and doors, lumber, windows and much, much more.
Get all your lumber needs from us. We have number one treated pine, all different types of plywood, V-joint, siding board and concrete board. In addition, we have grade 3 2x4s and form play for boxing.
Big or small, at Williams Metals we have it all. At Williams Metals we have it all.
Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
But so far, I think we have a technical issue, but let's go on talking then, until that is corrected, to make sure we have continuity of effort. How would you say that COVID is a change? More human being as such, or at least not Barbadians, would not have been responsible for the changes that were made necessary socially, culturally, economically, extra by imposed them by an external force such as COVID. I should have mentioned that for change could also either be internal or external. And COVID certainly was probably one of Barbie's most recent greatest agent of change that had not been anticipated and planned for. How would you describe the impact of COVID on us and the reaction of Barbadian society, both as individual and as a group, and the way the government handled it? How would you say that has impacted on the society?
Yeah, COVID has definitely been a major force of social change. It has changed so many dynamics within the society. It has led to some unprecedented changes socially. It's a change initiated globally, from a global side, worldwide. And what has happened with COVID is that people have just plunged into economic hardships, right? What COVID has done, and the lockdown and so on, not the lockdown itself, but the lockdown was necessary. But people have been plunged into economic hardships immediately without any plan. So this is a good example of when social change is sudden and is not planned, it is not expected, and the effects and the consequences that it has had on the society. So we've had a domino effect, right? People losing their jobs. It has had an impact on families. It has had an impact on family stability. It has shifted. Not that Barbados has, generally speaking, have some very set gender roles in terms of division of labor and so on, but right. It has shifted gender dynamics with regard to who's working in the household, right? Who still has a job, and whoever's working has to work. It doesn't matter anymore. It can't really at this point. Is it the man? Is it the husband? Is it the wife? Is it your spouse? Whatever the case may be. So it has shifted some gender roles as well. Now, I can't categorically speak about what actually is going on within homes and so on, because all this is now unfolding. But I am supposing and assuming and guessing that economic hardships occasioned by COVID and the pandemic have probably led to many family instabilities with regard to things that may have been slightly shaky at the beginning. The whole gender dynamic, especially, I feel, has shifted and may be causing problems in households. But then there's the issue of people not working and still have a family to feed. And we're wondering sometimes, but I can't, without doing research and so on, categorically speak to the causes, but is it fueling crime? Is it fueling more crime? Is it fueling a desperation where sometimes young people are no longer caring? They just are existing on some type of basic need, right? And so I would say that COVID has occasioned some serious, serious social changes. It has had a domino effect.
What would you say it has been? It has forced on us a kind of attitude of survival of the fittest that might not necessarily be part of the Barbadian accommodating and beneficent exposure and attitude and whatnot. Because it is said about human beings that one of the strong points of human beings as against other creatures is the ability to adapt and change in order to survive. So these changes will be necessitated by the force that we have to in order to survive as individuals and as a society. Would you support that thesis?
Yes, that's a good point. That's an interesting point. I would say yes, it has brought into being a type of survival of the fittest. And you know, during the lockdown, people were saying, it kind of exposed all the insecurities that were there, but were just being propped up. And people were able to keep jobs. Yes, it was a case of survival of the fittest. But what it also did, I think, is yes, those who were good, those who were financially stable, those who had, in Barbados, we have this dynamic of government jobs and so on, people who have secure government jobs, those were the ones that who were able to survive and so on. But I think another very interesting phenomenon that came out of the whole COVID adaptation has been the sheer imagination of Barbadians, the very survival mechanisms that they've put into place, right? You had you had people coming up with very, very, very imaginative ways of making money, surviving, supporting their families. Entrepreneurship rose to a whole new level, you know, in the last 6 months. So I think that, like everything else, it has created a situation of adaptability. And in trying to survive, people have come up with some very, very imaginative ways to survive, to make money, to feed their families. People have come up with ideas of delivering food, right? Yeah. Transportation. They've come up with the idea of selling food. Food businesses have, you know, grown, providing certain services like transporting healthcare workers back and forth during the lockdown, right? So I think that, yes, it created a situation of survival of the fittest, and in trying to survive and seeing who would be the fittest, Barbadians have brilliantly responded by being very, very imaginative. And that in many ways puts to rest the whole narrative that many people perpetuate, that many Barbadians are not creative, they're not imaginative, but I think they are. All right, so
you think the society will in the long run benefit from the unsolicited forces unleashed by the dynamics of COVID that will be long-term benefits to the society?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we can't negate the negative things that have happened, the fact that some people can't find work, still are not working, and so on. But yes, those other things. Mr. Marie, I think we have a caller.